A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Welcome to the Total Car Score podcast, bringing you the world of cars from inside the car. And now your hosts, Carl Brower, Lauren Fix, and Javier Mota.
Well, Carl, once again, inside a car for another episode of this podcast. I don't know who should we introduce first, the person who brought us here for this event or like the new member of our club?
Let's do the host first.
Trevor Lee, how are you?
Good, how are you guys?
We've been seeing you a lot lately. You've been really busy and keeping us busy too with a lot of new product. So we're here for a drive of all your electrified vehicles, starting with the Ioniq, which had a pretty good month last month, right?
Yeah, we were greatly surprised in the office, but also very pleased at the same time. The team's been working a very long time to make that a success, not only for sales and awards and stuff, but also for the consumer.
So. Yeah. The awards I was talking about, the triple winner of the World Car of the Year, although it didn't win a world, knocked me, right?
No, I guess it didn't. No, arguably it could have and should have, but, you know. It was definitely a high consideration. I think it came in second.
Okay, speaking of NACTOY, let's talk about Michael Harley, the new member of the jury. How are you, Michael?
Thanks for having me inside the car.
Yeah. And congratulations for joining the jury. So, going to be busy this year again.
Very busy. There are a lot of awfully good cars, and I'm happy to say we got a whole bunch of new product on the market, too.
So, Trevor, let's talk about this event in particular, because honestly, when I got the invitation, I said, okay, we're going to drive the Ioniq, the Santa Fe, the Tucson, and the Kona, which I have already driven. But I think this goes beyond the individual car. It goes the strategy for the whole company, right?
That's right. And what we were talking about, you know, today, you know, here at this event in Nashville, it's one of those things where it's a very holistic approach that we have for Hyundai, right? We're talking about not only individual vehicles, but how does the whole electrification piece fit together as a whole, you know, for the company? And so I think these are the four strongest products that I like talking about. Having worked on actually all these products now for some time, really helps give me that contrast of like, okay, these things are really taking off and they're really doing well for us.
So Michael, you have to be honest, not very enthusiastic about the electrification of the automotive industry. No, wait, let's say. But tell me about the benefits that you see happening already.
You know,
I will clarify introduction.
That, I'm a hardcore rear-wheel drive combustion car enthusiast guy. But I don't want to use the word love, it's a little bit strong, but I appreciate the benefits of an electric vehicle, and I see a good fit for an electric vehicle in every household, believe it or not. I think they're excellent transportation. I love the torque. I love the fact you don't have to warm them up. I mean, a traditional combustion vehicle, you can't pull out of your driveway and floor it.
You shouldn't.
The fluids come to temperature, and they are excellent daily commuters, excellent transportation. They could be a lot of fun. In the beginning when electric cars came out, they were literally just bigger versions of golf carts.
Yeah.
But nowadays, we were joking, you've got heated seats, you've got all the amenities, you've got an incredible infotainment system, great sound systems, the transparency from the infotainment from walking, you're on your phone, you get in the car, the conversation picks up immediately, you can use Alexa, you can use Siri inside your car now. The technology is there, and electric cars are arguably now a lot more innovative and advanced than their combustion counterparts.
Yeah. Carl, but we're still, I mean, from your analytic part of the business that you cover, the sales are growing. Like, actually, Q1 was really big jump from last year compared year to year. But we're not there yet. So how do you see this? How do you see in general and Hyundai with these products in particular going?
Well, it's clear Hyundai has gone all in and is really committed. Their sales numbers, I think, would surprise a lot of other people. If you take the whole kind of parent company of Hyundai Motor Group and you look at the numbers they're driving, only one brand is ahead of them, as far as I know.
Tesla.
And that's the one that should be ahead because they've got a 15-year head start on most people. So to see them in this position, I don't think most people would have believed it, like even two or three, let alone like 5 or 6 years ago, would have thought that after Tesla, who's going to be the leader in electric vehicles? I don't think people would have thought Hyundai's Motor Group, but they are. And not just in volume. The volume reflects the product. And why do you sell so many electric cars if you're a successful car maker? Because people want to buy them. And I think whether it's the design of the exterior, the range, I remember driving the Kona EV years ago and using it in my max use case in Southern California, all the way up to Camarillo and back with a stop in between, getting back with 222 miles on the trip meter and still having 40 plus miles left to go. And I was not hypermiling. Most of it was freeway. And that's when I was pretty...
Because you're like Mike. You like the fast cars.
And yeah, I was going plenty fast. And that's when I kind of crossed over specifically on the Hyundai Kona. And I was like, okay, I officially want one of these cars now. You know, so, I mean, I think that's... And we always used to joke when Mike and I worked at Kelly, you know, we test a lot of cars and we always used to say, because it's true, Tesla's optimistic on their ranges and Hyundai's pessimistic, you know. Yeah. So if you think you're going to get what Tesla claims, you might be disappointed. If you think you're going to get what Hyundai claims, you might be happily surprised.
Yeah. And is that, I know like you go by the EPA numbers, right, like the official numbers, but not only Hyundai, but many other manufacturers, probably like lowball the range, maybe because to give kind of like what Carl was saying, like kind of surprise to the consumer that you're getting actually more than we're promising?
That's exactly the case. In our research, we found that if we are able to surprise and delight our customers, and whether it be through infotainment, whether it be through styling, range is one of them. And range is very important for our EV drivers, right? Folks coming to an EV, especially a Hyundai EV, that's probably their first Hyundai EV ever, if not their first EV or their first Hyundai. So we knew we had to doubly deliver. And so having that surprise and delight, like, oh, wow, I'm actually getting more than, you know, what was advertised or what was claimed, that makes them even happier. And that helps, is one of the things that helps build the brand for us.
Yeah. And Michael, what have you, I mean, you already have driven all of them, but like, any surprises for you or anything that like you can still, after a few years of experiencing EVs, you would say, wow, this is really, really cool or something like that?
You know, one of the nicest things I've found about EVs and one of the things Hyundai's shown us today is you don't have to jump in with both feet. You can go with a plug-in hybrid, you can go with a hybrid, you can go with a pure EV. There are so many different ways to experience electrification with today's modern transportation. And, you know, I always talk about cars being like shoes. You have certain shoes you wear for certain events, and there are cars you use for long-distance trips, there are cars you use for daily commutes. And another thing I'd like to bring up, the fact that Carl mentioned that when the two of us were at Kelly, it was nice to realize we could run the EVs for the first time on our normal drive tests. You know, Carl could make it from Camarillo to Orange County. I can make it from Thousand Oaks to Orange County and back to LAX and back. You don't have to compromise.
Obviously, one of the, besides the range anxiety and the time of charging the infrastructure, I was in LA a couple of weeks ago and I saw something kind of interesting, like in the light bulbs, like this one that we're seeing here outside Nashville. I saw like they have adapted like a charger, so I guess they pull out the wire from underneath, put a charging station on it, and it was like on the street. So is that, in your opinion, Carl, the factor that it, because we already driven the car, they're fantastic and all that, but the people are still like worried about that. You think that's the final piece to the puzzle?
No, I don't think it's the final one. It's a big one. So I think one big one is the infrastructure and being able to go out of your house and not feel like, hopefully when I'm needing a charge, there's some way around me to do that. When you are in an internal combustion car, except for when you're going across the country and you're going through the Southwest, of, you know, desert, you can pretty much be confident that if you suddenly decide you need gas, it's going to be a fairly short amount of time before you'll have the option to get gas. And people don't feel that way yet about charging their cars. So we need to get there, and the infrastructure is important. I know there's the Electrify America partnership that Hyundai's done, and so that's really helpful because we are watching these networks grow all the time. To me, the big question, one I'd like to hear Trevor's response on, is just really the production/business model behind these vehicles. Anyone who's been watching the world around them at all in the last year, certainly the last 6 months, has seen the supply chain challenges every car is hitting. But everything that's happening to cars in general is worse for EVs. Electric cars need more computer chips, and those are hard to get. Electric cars need lithium and palladium and nickel, and that's gone up in price. The mantra, my latest quote that I've been saying, I was on Cheddar TV last week and I told them all this, is I said, look, we spent decades being told we have to get off oil. Look how terrible oil is. We have to depend on bad people to get our oil. When the price of oil changes and it's volatile, it screws up the whole economy of the automotive world and all that stuff. And electric cars will be our savior. They'll liberate us from all the trouble of oil and the prices that go along with oil.
Except...
has anyone checked the price of lithium over the last year and palladium and nickel and the availability of neon and cobalt and all these other things and all? So right now, my mantra is that aspect of an electric car being an advantage over oil seems to have evaporated before a lot of our eyes. And then similarly, what's the biggest challenge that an electric car faces? It's a value for the money price parity to an internal combustion car. That's been a problem since day one, and it hasn't gotten better in the last 6 months. You got Rivian trying to raise prices and annoying their pre-ordered people because they were trying to raise the prices on cars that people had already agreed to a price on, and Tesla cranking up the prices. These cars have to do two things. They have to sell to consumers and make consumers happy, and I think the cars are getting really good at that. And they have to make money so that the companies don't go bankrupt producing them. And I'm worried about the second one.
So I know you cannot reveal the finances from Hyundai on any level, but tell us about what you think about these issues, because there are real issues. Like, it's happening, the war in Ukraine, everything that Carl has mentioned. So what did you see from your side,
the planning for these vehicles?
I think dampening that volatility that Carl just mentioned a moment ago, I think it's a big piece. It's not as, electricity doesn't fluctuate nearly as much as oil does. So there's some protection on that, depending on whatever local electric production is. You know, certain parts of the U.S., okay, might still be an issue with constant electric supply and storms and whatnot we've been hearing about in the news. But in general, by and large, you know, the grid's been there for a while. It's good to go. And public utilities are making investments to accommodate for more EVs into the future, time of usage kind of things that we face. You know, Southern California, you can charge your car certain times of the day for lower rates, things like that. You know, here at Hyundai, we are looking at the business cases very closely. It's something that, you know, it has to make money, I mean, in the long run and over time. And right now, we're comfortable where we are. We want to definitely be more comfortable and grow the safety margin a lot more than we are. But, you know, I think the important thing right now is to see which of these technologies are really working for a lot of folks. You know, if people are still coming from their ICE vehicles, do they want to go all in to BEV? Do they want to dip their toe with HEV, which is the safest option? Do they want to go to plug-in hybrid, which offers a lot of the same benefits, but get more, you know, acclimated to plugging in every day? Okay, that's another level. No one person's the same. And so I think giving all these folks different options will eventually help drive people towards a common solution, whatever that may be.
And the plan is on, right? Like, Hyundai has announced, I believe, 11 EVs under the IONIQ sub-brand. Like, that's already going. I mean, that's not stopping.
We will have, the Hyundai Motor Group will have 11 new models by 2030 globally. Whether it be under the IONIQ name or other names, that's something that, you know, Hyundai is definitely committed to electrification. It's not a flash in the pan. And pretty soon, it's not going to be a regulatory thing either. It's just that's what the people want, and that's what we'll give them.
Yeah. Michael, I'm sure, like, when you bring an EV to your house and your neighbors look at it and they start like, okay, how does that work? Or how is it? How are you going to charge all that? What kind of questions are you hearing from people who have never experienced an EV?
Most people are just shocked because Tesla really, you know, Tesla did a disservice to the entire industry and consumers by sort of training their owners that they had to go to public, you know, they had to go to their charging stations. Tesla never really pushed home level 2 chargers. And I installed a home level 2 charger at my house probably about 2 years ago when I was started to take a look at all the EVs, and most people are shocked when they come and see the car and they see an umbilical cord coming out of my garage, plug in the car, and I say, hey, guess what? I wake up with a full charge every morning. And they said, do you find it hard to charge this in public places by the malls? And I said, I have yet in 2 years to even visit a public charging place because I charge overnight. It takes anywhere between 4 and 7 or 8 hours, and which is easy to do. And just like you mentioned, the time of use. I, you know, I'm Southern California, so Edison gives me less expensive energy between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. And most people are just shocked to find you can have an EV, charge at home, and never even have to worry about a public charger.
And that's, Carl, I guess, the other part of the equation. Our job to, quote-unquote, educate the public, right? Because a lot of people, I'm sure you have had experience, like a neighbor, a friend, a relative has never been in an EV, and the first time they get in, like, they're shocked about the performance and all that, and then these other questions. So I guess that's the other part of the puzzle.
Yeah, and it's really what Trevor has said in that, it's there is no, people have been saying, asking me for like 10 years now, what's the silver bullet? Is hydrogen the silver bullet? Is electricity the silver bullet? And I've got my tired quote that I keep telling people, like, there is no silver bullet. There's multiple bronze bullets. And when you add them all up, they become silver. And, you know, if you're going to drive across the country with a bunch of stuff loaded in a semi truck, I'll be challenging everyone to prove when that's best done by electric vehicles, because I don't think it ever will be. The cost to build that vehicle, the amount of weight that you got to load into the vehicle before the cargo goes in to give it some range, and the time it takes to recharge it, there's never going to be a cost effective way in my mind to ship lots of cargo across the country via electricity. Diesel or maybe hydrogen will always have that advantage. Conversely, if every FedEx, UPS, and Amazon truck that has a 100 to 200 mile route in an urban environment that they drive every day before they go home to the mother base where all the chargers can be, could be turned to EV tomorrow, I'd be completely supportive of that. You're cutting out the noise pollution, the air pollution, you're getting better torque. That's the perfect environment for an EV. 0 to 50, 0 to 60 is their best environment in an urban world. So I think our job is to make sure people know all the choices out there and figure out which one makes sense for them, and not assume that there's only one choice and it's the right choice. And I'm definitely a massive fan of plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. I think they are brilliant.
Like the one we're sitting in, which is the Tucson, right?
Yeah, the Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Plug-in hybrid.
PHEV. Solves everything. No range anxiety, no use of internal combustion most of the time when you're driving it. It's great.
How many electric miles range we get with this one?
Yeah, the Tucson plug-in gets about 33 miles all electric range. So a lot of folks have a shorter commute, maybe you have a 30-mile commute, round trip every day. You're basically in an EV your work week.
Well, you're going to need a little more than that to get back to our hotel here in Nashville, Carl, but enjoy the electric part of it and then the other part of the car, okay?
Yeah, and that's why you can, because it's like, oh, no, the battery's out. Guess we'll just keep driving.
Exactly, and you don't feel anything. Well, Michael, thank you again for your time, and congratulations for joining NACTOY.
Thank
and Trevor,
much.
Thank you very much again for all your information. And
thank you for having
congratulations
me.
Congratulations for
as
all
always.
The awards for the Ioniq 5.
Thank you guys for that.
See you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more, check us out online at TotalCarScore.com.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.